Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The saying that a picture's worth a thousand words, a video's worth a billion words. It's basically pornography.
They'll be pixelated.
If you kind of cross your eyes a little bit, it kind of goes unpixelated.
Thank you.
They need the Yankees right now. Wake you up a little bit, realize, and look over there and say, you know what? If we don't wake up, we're going to lose 20-1.
It's a 3-run home run from Mike Tauchman.
Who is that?
Tauchman, the sock man.
That is the first home run of his career.
Now, this is downright embarrassing.
Right now.
The big O has just been unicorned. This is like being knighted.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF, a busy night with TV. We now know that the crap video will not be out, so you can shut down your, well, you can go to Pornhub or somewhere else. You're not going to get it on your computer tonight. Right. But we've got games. Boy, we get the Red Sox at 6:30.
Sure.
We get the Celtics and the Pacers at 7.
Yeah.
We get the Bruins and Leafs at 7. We've got the NFL schedule release at 8. Unfortunately, that's going to be a rerun because all of the schedules.
We already know the schedule.
Already.
Up with Pittsburgh by week 10.
So priority, we throw it out to you. Which game are you going to spend the most time watching tonight?
My plan is obviously we're going to listen to the Red Sox driving home a little bit, 30 minutes, right?
Yes, right.
It's the Bruins because I feel like as far as DVRing sports, right, I feel like the Bruins, there's not as many breaks. Maybe between periods, if you want to kind of go back and catch up, fine, so be it. But basketball is a better game on the DVR. You know, you can, the timeouts, between quarters, so many TV timeouts. I feel like you can kind of fast forward through those and watch the game quicker. So I think hockey and the importance of the game. You know, the Celtics really should win this game by 20 points, whatever. It should be a comfortable win. The Bruins game is a big game for them. And the Red Sox, to me, I feel like, you know, I'll follow them a little bit. And then tomorrow, we have the luxury of waking up and kind of watching the game all over again.
Do we get Jack and Brick on this one tonight? Is that what we get tonight?
I think we do have Nesson on weekdays.
What?
So is it Nesson Plus?
No, the Red Sox, I think. Red Sox are Nesson Plus. The playoff games they put on the regular Nesson, and they moved the Red Sox, they bumped away to Plus. And then if this continues on, losing for the next 2 weeks, they'll be on Nesson Minus, which is like a couple channels down from that. That's the problem with the Red Sox game tonight. You look at it and say, okay, I don't want to be disappointed again. And you're right. The priority right now to me is Bruins-Leafs. That, of all the teams that have to win tonight, even though the Red Sox are 7.5 games out, the Bruins are the team that it's more important for them than any of these others.
You'd be down 3-1, especially with the door that's kind of open with Tampa going down again. Careful what you wish for. Columbus beat them in 4 for a reason.
Yeah, I just don't see the Pacers winning this game tonight.
They shouldn't.
And if they do, am I going to be concerned? No, the only thing that's going to concern me is what Scal was talking about earlier. Then you're setting yourself up for a possible long series. You may be right with your 7 games. And then what it does is it screws you up in the next series because Milwaukee is going to breeze in 4 or 5 through Detroit, and they're going to get plenty of time off, and you're going to be scrambling, playing a game, and then having to fly out to Milwaukee and play, you know, a day later or something like that. That's the killer. But the Red Sox, what worries me is 3 weeks from now, if this continues on, are people going to be paying attention to this team? And the schedule is far more difficult in the next 2 weeks.
I feel like they're on the back burner. I felt like last night they had the spotlight, right? Game one in Yankee Stadium, there's no Bruins, there's no Celtics, there's nothing going on. You get the Red Sox. And you're watching Chris Sale. And that was the night you watched them. Now tonight, the thing that I don't like is that we're going to get the same thing on Friday. We're going to get the same thing on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going
to... All of a sudden, now the NBA wants to go every other night? What happened every third night? Every other night? So Friday they both play. Sunday they both play.
Right.
I don't like that.
Well, the NBA is stupid the way they do this.
But now the NBA is doing it right. Every other night.
Yeah.
Which
it'll switch again. This is not a constant. They're not doing it every night. What they're doing is they shift it around because they're dealing with ESPN, they're dealing with TNT, they're dealing with all of their networks, right?
Yeah.
And then they put a bunch of games on NBA TV as well. So that's what they're doing.
Good thing you know basketball.
All right, to the phone calls we go. Here's Paulie in a car. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Listen, come to talk about Bob Kraft. They try to set this. They're really trying to crucify this guy the way they're laying this down. They pulled him over illegally. They videotaped everybody illegally. And
we don't really know any of that, Paulie, to be perfectly honest with you.
They upped the charges. And there's no human trafficking involved, and they knew it, but they upped the charges from a second-degree misdemeanor to a first-degree misdemeanor. That was really the red flag. We knew we had a you know, circle the wagons and fight back.
I don't think they did.
I don't think anything you've said so far has been correct.
No.
Or at least proven.
No. Nope.
Just saying. Like, we you know.
They didn't change anything. They didn't change the charges.
I mean, we've had people sit there and say, you know, it wasn't Paulie a legal stop. I don't know. It would be discussed in court. Sat there and said, okay, you know what, the video, the reasons they put the video in for human trafficking, okay, did they catch Robert in a crime? Pretty sure they did.
Yes. Okay. A misdemeanor. He's
not money the water.
He's here. Missing it that it was two counts misdemeanor. Okay, that's what he's missing. And that was because they caught him twice on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Okay, so there was never one and up to two. It was always two counts misdemeanor. The one area where I think he is making some sense is they're sticking it to Robert Kraft.
Yeah, we know that.
They don't handle it this way normally in Florida. If you look it up in Florida, most of the time when they have these raids, they let the guy go. They basically give them nothing.
Look it up.
Right. They don't even charge them with a misdemeanor crime. They don't do that. They let them go because they're more interested in nailing the salon and charging them with prostitution. What changed in this case is it was originally established as a human trafficking case. Once they did that, everything changed. They went in, they got the sneak and peek warrants, and they were doing stuff on a totally different level, like a major crime was being committed. So all of the other stuff that was happening underneath suddenly played into that umbrella. That's what I don't understand right now. So the trafficking is out. It does not exist. The prosecutors come out and said, it does not exist. There's nothing. Zero evidence. We can't prove anything. Nothing exists. Right. So why don't you go back now to treating the evidence that you picked up along the way in the same way you would have treated that evidence before you entered in a human trafficking case? That's the way it should be done. And not just for Kraft, but those for those other 24 other Johns that are sitting there, too, probably going to get their life upended.
Those 24 other guys are known as John Doe.
John Doe.
Is Robert Kraft and 24 John Doe's.
I would have changed my name if I were Kraft to John Doe. Yeah, I want to be known as John
God.
Doe.
So what do you do tonight? You watch, which one do you watch?
I watch the Bruins. Mostly the Bruins. I'll go back and forth. I'll have one up on my computer and I'll have, you know, them all flying. But I certainly the Bruins because it's a more significant game. It means more. Mm-hmm. There's a little crunch time here. You go down 3-1 to this team. It's a pretty good team. You go down 3-1. Now you're in for a battle.
Well, it means more, I think, than the other ones. The Celtics are going to, even if they lose tonight, they're going to beat the Pacers. You know what I mean? And hopefully they just blow that team out. Red Sox, Yankees, it's sort of Evaldi, Hap, okay? I don't know. Are they going to wake this thing up right now? I mean, is Evaldi dominated the Yankees last year? Is he just continue it? Or is it more of what we've seen so far, just a dead-ass team? I'm getting to the point where I'm worried more about the offense than I am the pitching staff.
My biggest problem is we've been sitting here now for 2 weeks saying, this team's too good. It's too early, and this team is too good. So how long do we wait here, Lou? And I know it's only April 17th. People keep on saying that. But they're 7.5 games out. So when does it become a problem? By the way, it's a problem if Tampa Bay just goes out the rest of the year. And what are they playing right now? They're playing 765 baseball. I don't know. Let's say they play 575 baseball the rest of the way. It might be a problem mathematically. I'm not doing the math on the fly, so you do the math. Right. But that may be a problem, even if they're pretty good the rest of the way. I don't know.
Well, the great late Yogi Berra once said, it's getting late early.
It is getting late early.
And that's, honestly, I mean, you're talking about a team that's 6-12. I just saw someone tweet out about the Brewers. They've lost today. They fall to 12-7. And their pitcher on the mound, this kid, you know, he's giving up too many home runs, and they got to figure it out soon. And I'm like, oh, really?
12-7.
Yeah, 12-7. Try being 6-12, and every single one of your pitchers are giving up the long ball.
12-7.
How about that factor?
Please.
Because this is where they're at right now.
Yeah, but can it go on for the next 2 weeks? So you're getting a series with Tampa Bay, you're getting Detroit, and then you're getting Tampa Bay. Detroit's a 500 team right now. They've been okay. And we know what Tampa Bay has been. But Tampa Bay, if you lose those two series, now you're losing significant
ground.
They caught
a little break. Did you hear what happened to Blake Snell?
Yeah, he broke his toe, fractured his toe in the bathtub.
In the bathroom. In the bathroom. I think he dropped like marble or something. I don't know if he's doing like
pedestal
handiwork
sink or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he's doing in there, but you know, you're going to miss him for one start. Maybe you miss him for two. You catch a break there. You don't want to see that guy for a couple of starts.
I would say it's tough. Is it his right foot or his left foot? Doesn't make a difference. Going off the mound?
Yeah, it's not going to feel good.
No, that would be, I would think that would be pretty difficult.
So you watch that game. I'll follow that game. That'll be something probably I'm going to follow on the phone and then tomorrow morning rewatch an Evaldi start and see if this lineup can wake up. But it is the Bruins. Are you concerned at all that the glue, Al Horford, the glue, has
just
the flu
people off again
and might not be available for game two? What do you do?
I think the fact that he was the first Celtic to show up tonight, I think he's going to play. Little IV, you know, a little medication. Get his ass out.
He guts it out.
Because
he's the glue.
Because he's above average when it comes to pain level.
If you do what this team is unable to do, like say get a 20-25 point lead, you can keep it. So maybe you can rest him in the fourth quarter.
Am I underestimating the Indiana Pacers? I know I'm getting some heat on the text line of people saying, oh, they're much better than you think. No, they weren't. Down the stretch, they were terrible. Of all of these playoff teams, they had by far the worst record from the All-Star break on. And the reason that people thought they were pretty good, because for a while, for a few weeks, they were fighting a good fight without Victor Oladipo. Then the problem was the talent leveled off, and they got exposed. And I think people miss that down the stretch because if you look at it from the All-Star break on, I'm just looking at the East right now. Detroit was 15-11. Orlando was 15-8. Brooklyn was 12-11. You know what Indiana was? 10-14.
Yeah.
10-14. They were the only team in the East that was below 500. One team was 500 from the All-Star break on. Anybody know what team that was?
Your Celtics?
Your Boston Celtics. Yeah. They were 12-12.
Flipping
Celtics
switch.
Had the second worst record since the All-Star break. So you're playing a crappy team. I'm sorry.
But what do they do if Al Horford can't dribble up? Because one of the benefits of having Al.
Stop.
I mean, we want to give Al so much credit for dribbling up the basketball because he can play point guard. Meanwhile, I haven't got on Al Horford this year, right? Because I think he's been good. Because I think he slides into his role perfectly with this team. There's so many scores. It's not like when Avery Bradley went down, you're desperately looking for a second score and he was passive Al. You know, he can still be that guy. We know what he does at the end of the year. And I know what he's going to be like in the postseason.
It's just Horford doing what Horford's always done.
He's going to be very good. But can we stop giving the guy so much credit for being able to dribble the ball up the basket?
Breaking news. You ready for this? Breaking news. Al Horford will play tonight.
I don't know what they would have done.
This is breaking news.
I don't know what they would have done without
Ordway, Merloney, and Fourier.
So he's going to go through his regular pregame routine, but they expect him to play.
Go Celtics!
In this game tonight.
Thank God. He'd be lost without him. Thank God. Because, I mean, who else is going to dribble the ball up the court?
Al Horford silencing the haters.
Well, I'm just saying. Who else? I mean, you know.
Just so mean.
Maybe
when it
if
comes
the Time
to
Lord could dribble, he would have been drafted higher.
Isn't it amazing
That's
though?
The whole hole in his game.
Isn't it amazing though? Brian Scalabrine was with us last hour in studio. Isn't it amazing? He's doing the games and he's already bored with this series. And the first game was actually because the Celtics played so poorly in the first half, it was competitive for a while. And yet he's already bored. He already wants to move on to Milwaukee. Now, the only way that hurts you is if the players feel the same way. So I would say because we've seen the hangover with the Red Sox from a year ago, from winning the World Series. If the Celtics come out and play anywhere like they played in Game 1, then I would tell you they've got a problem.
They're not flipping the switch because they know they don't have to flip the switch right now.
That's bad. They do have to flip the switch.
No, they don't. They have to flip the switch when they play Milwaukee.
They do have to flip it to make it a short series.
Like they did in Game 1 and still make it a short series. They should be able to. It'd be a little bit tougher back in there. Listen, they absolutely should sweep this Indiana team at least 5 games, tops. But I just don't trust them.
I see no indication they even know where the switch is.
As bad as they are, as bad as Indiana is, I just don't trust this team. I don't. So, but they absolutely should. But they're not going to flip the switch against this. It'll be another. They'll win. It still won't be pretty. It'll be just like game one, a W.
See, I won't
move
feel.
On.
I don't know.
Rock fight.
I don't know how any Celtic fan could feel good if you see a repeat of what you saw in game one here in game two. If you play anybody else in the league, you play Brooklyn, you play Orlando, if you play Milwaukee, you got no shot of winning that game one. Shooting 36%, 17 turnovers, you have no shot. I don't care how much defense you played in the third quarter. It would have been too late. You would have been down by 22 at the half against Milwaukee. So you've got no way of winning that game against a good team. The reason that you're 1-0 in the series right now is the Pacers suck. And unfortunately, they play hard, They'll play defense out there. They'll work their ass off. They don't have their featured player. Right. Oladipo's not there.
So you're not going to learn anything positive about this team.
You're not going to learn anything negative. Nothing.
Well, what I mean, negative, if they drop the game, you'll learn something, right? If they go to Indiana and they lose game three, you'll learn something because you'll see it and you say, wow, what an ugly game to lose to that team that doesn't have their best player. But positively, I still think you're going to be waiting for Milwaukee for this team to show you anything. So they don't need to. They keep pushing off the whole flip the switch thing because they don't need it right now.
But see, and Scal brought this up. They have got to be efficient about this. So you take care of business here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make it a short series so that you can get time off for the Milwaukee series. That's that's really important. When you only have a day to flip it around or 2 days to flip it around, because you're figuring out what you want to do. You're going to change up what you do against Milwaukee. It's going to be different than what you do against the Pacers. You just don't roll the ball and play the same game out there. That I would worry about. So you've got to finish this thing off easily, and you should finish it off.
Yes.
So do they win easily tonight?
Yes, they do.
I think so, too.
I think they do. Game three in Indiana, different story. We'll see.
Bruins win tonight.
Bruins win tonight. Does Cassidy switch up that line? Move Pasta down. They won't do it in the first period if they're up 2-0.
No, they won't do it then. But I think if he sees early on that they're choking Pasternak again and he's got no space out there, you got to do something.
Kuhlman's out. Samuelson is in. It looks like Moore is staying in the third line. They've been playing good.
Yeah.
And then you got the third. I think Moore is in over Camphor, so Moore is back in there.
I still think it all comes down to that first line. We gave you the numbers. It all comes down to that first line. What can they do against that first line? This hour of OMF being brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, now making weight loss even easier for clients with their new gourmet prepared meals delivered right to your door. Fresh, grass-fed prepared meals with free delivery. Awaken 180 continues to make losing weight what it should be, easy. The one other thing on tap tonight before we get into the Red Sox, full-fledged Red Sox, and take you up to game two of this two-game series against the Yankees. The other thing that's happening tonight at 8 o'clock is the NFL Network is unveiling...
I can't wait for this.
...the schedule...
Really, I can't wait for this.
...of every team. And, of course, you know they'll stretch this out for the longest time and to keep you in suspense. The only problem is there are a bunch of good reporters out there using their connections with about four or five teams. And once you do that, you can kind of put everybody's schedule together. And we literally have online right now every schedule of every NFL team.
We have high standards in the NFL.
Nah, apparently not.
So the first things you look at when you see a Patriots schedule is you say, when's the bye week? And it's week 10. Last year, I believe it was 9. So that's a good thing, right? You don't want it week 4, week 5. You want it week 10.
Right.
The other thing is, who do they open up with? And that's Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday Night Football, 8:30.
Good dysfunctional team. I like that.
Good dysfunctional team. So that'd be a nice test. But you get out of the gate, you're ready right away. It's at Miami, Jets, at Buffalo. So the division is there, which tells me you will not go undefeated in the division because, as we all know, this team will drop a game or two early on.
Hold on for a second. Would you say how long is it?
The show is literally 2 hours long.
The scheduling show is 2 hours?
8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and it will replay at 10 p.m. if you missed it.
Oh, I'm good.
This would be one of the because the NFL usually kills it no matter what they do, right? No matter what they do on TV, they kill it. This would be one of the most lowest rated NFL shows, announcements, you'll see all year.
I'll tell you what, though, if it's a highly rated show tonight, then what does that tell you? If they do well against these other playoff games in the NHL and the NBA tonight,
everybody already knows about.
Still the NFL. Do people not believe it? So
the focus should be on football.
So locally, 8 o'clock, you think it's a big number in Boston?
No chance.
No
I don't see how anybody would watch
shot
this.
In hell.
I don't see how anybody would watch this. My guess tonight is the Bruins have the highest ratings. Okay, I would say the Red Sox might have the second highest ratings only because it's the Red Sox. They are a half an hour earlier, so they're almost on the same window. Celtics will finish third tonight.
Yeah.
Though, we got to remember, they're on Nesson Plus, and there are some people that simply don't know how to find Nesson Plus.
You can't talk into your remote and go, find the Red Sox.
There's some people that don't know how to do that. Really are. Like True TV, every year, you get the March Madness, and they go to True TV, and every year you get these whack jobs that are trying to figure out how I find True TV. They can't find it, right? I don't know how you didn't remember last year when you had it.
So just going back to the NFL schedule reveal, so they're going to actually pay pundits to sit up there on a stage, I'm assuming, or a set, and act surprised when they start revealing these schedules, like they're going to go, oh my God, the Patriots and the Steelers.
God, the Patriots and the Browns.
Who saw that coming?
October 27th. What again?
No, you know, watch it just
here's what.
That
no, here's what they'll do. They'll try to feature. They'll show you what they call B roll. So they'll have the players and specific players. So when they show the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers on that Sunday night, it'll be Brady with Roethlisberger. That's what it'll be, right? And they'll show you stuff. And can they do? And what are Pittsburgh going to be like now without Antonio Brown?
What's up, guys?
That's what they'll do.
Pat's already 6-point favorite against the Steelers.
The line's up already.
How about game two
of Miami?
You talk about the ratings. How much does this play into it? Because the Celtics are also on TNT, and the Bruins are also on NBC.
They're on both?
So both games are double-dipped.
I don't care about
and
the
And then
ratings.
You got an SN Plus that no one can find.
Yeah, the Red Sox might fare poorly. It's not a good sign right now with the Red Sox that people... Do you feel that people are charged? They're not even pissed, Lou. I'm not even getting...
Oh, I think a lot of people are pissed.
I'm not getting...
I think the fans are pissed. They can't stand watching this baseball.
Playing like dog...
They are.
Well, you some fans like you, but I almost get the feeling right now that the fans, they want to be... They're not pissed because they won the World Series last year, so they're in hold mode right now. I think the game tonight, and more importantly, the two series against Tampa Bay... are going to change that emotion. And I think what will happen is if they fare poorly in those two series against Tampa Bay, let's say they lose 4 out of 6, I think people are going to push them away. See you later. I don't think they're going to get pissed. I think they're just going to push them away.
Well, I think normally what happens, I mean, you get two big playoff games. Two teams are in the playoffs. If the Bruins can get by Toronto, and I think Boston will get by Indiana, and then you're going to have Columbus, you're going to have Milwaukee. So I think a lot of times what happens is the Red Sox have a window for about 2 or 3 weeks. They look like dog crap. You know, you had the whole stage to yourself last night. Chris Sale in New York. You get smoked. And then it turns into, you know, background music. How are they doing? You know, are they turning this thing around? Because I'll catch you in June after May and the postseason ends.
It's flat out embarrassing.
Especially if these teams go deep.
For our fans.
It's embarrassing. He says it's embarrassing. He says he sucks. Mookie Betts says he sucks. Jerry Rummy's saying it's embarrassing as well. I mean, it's tough to watch.
How do they all know they suck and they can't fix any of it?
I think they're just searching. I don't know about you, but I saw, like, I don't know who it was, the New York Post, like, Chris Sale hits rock bottom. Rock bottom? What are you talking about? I don't even worry about Chris Sale right now.
It's April.
I mean, since last July, I've wondered if he could throw 97 again. Last night, I thought he threw the ball well. He didn't pitch well. He couldn't locate anything. But are you concerned about Chris Sale after what you saw last night, hitting 97, 98 with a good slider again?
I know we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into Mookie Betts coming up in the next segment. But you tell me, do you expect... Are you worried about Mookie Betts?
I'm a little worried he's in his own dome. Yeah, I think he is completely lost right now at the plate. How many times is he going to take a swing, look back to the dugout, and ask if he's dropping his shoulder? Mid-at-bat, what am I doing wrong? Not batting practice, not in the cage, mid-at-bat in a Major League Baseball game, he's looking back into the dugout asking what he's doing wrong. That is completely lost.
Well, he's no longer an aggressive hitter, and I know last year that was the big emphasis that Alex Cora had, is that we're going to look for that first pitch. And they had great success, especially with fastball pitchers, right? They were looking for that first pitch. Guys that they knew wanted to get hit ahead of the count, they were really aggressive. What's happened to that? And Mookie's the leader in the clubhouse with that right now. He is being very, very passive. I find it hard to believe, though, Lou. Again, this is not Jackie Bradley Jr. we're talking about. This is a guy who has had tremendous success. He's one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball. I can't see how this lasts for a long, long time. I just don't see it.
Like I said, it's getting late. It's getting late early here.
All right. So I tell you what, we will do this coming up in the next segment, and we will get into Sale, and we will get into the embarrassment last night in New York. We'll do that all coming up next.